Welcome to the Passive Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast with your host, Andrew Keel. This is the podcast where you can get the education you need to invest 100% passively in the highly profitable niche of mobile home parks.
Welcome to the Passive Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Keel, and gonna do something a little different. We're gonna do a new series talking about risks and potential risks. You know, as you're a passive investor, you may not identify or realize some of the risks you're taking. And just from my time in the space, I think one of the risks that oftentimes is overlooked is why, you know, converting park-owned homes to tenant-owned homes is so hard and all of the factors that go into that. So I want to try to educate passive investors out there on this risk and why some operators don't even buy parks that have park-owned homes because of this additional risk that it brings. So going to talk about that. And then we may do a couple other episodes on other types of risk, like the risks of operational, you know, issues with, you know, infill issues and utility infrastructure issues, due diligence issues. So yeah, I hope you guys find value out of this. But today we're going to be talking about why park-owned home to tenant-owned home, you know, value-add mobile home parks are so hard, and all the components that go into that conversion. It's not as simple as just, okay, here, we're going to give you the title after we, you know, close on the park. There's a lot of dynamics that go into this. My inspiration from this came from a post from my buddy, Ryan Norris, who posts on LinkedIn. He has a lot of just really valuable content. So Ryan Norris on LinkedIn, follow him if you're not following him yet. But here we go. So turnover and CapEx costs can literally eat you alive. I think you need to start there. Like, you know, yeah, your expense ratio is 35%, but if your CapEx, which is below NOI, is eating up all of your cash flow, well, then what's your true cash flow, right? Then you have nothing, or you might even be negative. So, you know, one minute you may think that a hundred thousand miscellaneous budget is super healthy, and another minute you may feel like you didn't raise enough money. You know, this is really one of those things where you kind of need to raise a little bit more than you need to, you know, build some extra funds there. Because if you have some turnover, a tenant-owned home goes vacant, right? This happens all the time where they just abandon the home and they walk away, and you have to go get the title and file for abandonment, and that costs money. And then you have to rehab the home when you get it back, and that costs money. And, you know, it doesn't just get better overnight. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is understanding that once you sign the title, the mobile home title, over to someone, nothing prevents them from removing the home from the community. You know, the right of first refusal in your lot lease agreement can help, you know, slightly, but it's not a guarantee. We have this clause in our lot lease agreement, yet three tenants have sold their homes without offering us this privilege. And when the homes have already been moved out, it's cost prohibitive to bring them back in and hire an attorney to try to enforce this. So the cost to replace a mobile home can and will likely cost tens of thousands of dollars. You know, I think we are budgeting $25,000 to bring in a used home on our new, you know, parks that we're acquiring. So, you know, it's not a cheap issue. It's not a cheap thing to, you know, just kind of overlook. So it could take you years to recoup that initial investment when you sell via an RTO, right? So you have a home move out, you got to spend 25 grand to bring a new one in. And then, oh yeah, you're going to sell it for 1500 bucks down and 500 bucks a month, and your lot rent's 300, you know, of the 500. So it's really important to understand the full dynamic. And when you're buying park-owned homes and you own all of those homes, there's extra costs, right? You have to insure those homes. If there's loans on them, you have to, right? The bank will require, the lender will require you do that. And then also, you know, you have to pay the taxes on them. You have to make sure you have titles so you can transfer them properly. And yeah, there's just additional expenses involved with, you know, maintaining them. So let's look through this. So dealer licensing is a big one that I think, you know, new mobile home park operators overlook. You know, if you buy a park, every state's a little bit different, but like, I think it was in the state of Ohio, I believe. Don't you know, quote me on this, but if you sell more than six homes in a year, you have to become a dealer. And to become a dealer, you have to have an office, and you have to have certain requirements that cost money as well. and you have to, you know, go through all the paperwork and acquire a dealer license. So every state has rules related to how many homes you can sell, you know, without a dealer license. And then when selling or transferring park-owned homes to tenant-owned homes, you need to do it right, you know, again, to ward off liability risks. Because if you sell too many of those and you're not licensed, well, then you're giving the tenant, you're the person that you sold the home to, the power to come back at you, and, you know, later on and say, hey, this person didn't do it right, or they took advantage of me, or so forth. So that's really important. The one-third rule, when we buy parks that are, you know, have a lot of park-owned homes, we're expecting a third of them to convert to RTOs and eventually become owners. A third of them will stay renting. They'll want to rent just with a rent increase. And then a third will eventually move out. So that may take 3 months. It may take a year. It may take a year and a half. But that one-third will eventually move out. So when you're planning on, you know, converting a whole park-owned home park community or full park-owned home community to a tenant-owned home community, it's not going to just happen overnight, right? And I've heard stories where people come in, they acquire a fully park-owned home park. They say, okay, here, your lot rent is now going to be, you know, half of whatever you were paying prior. If you're paying $1,200 bucks a month rent, here, you're going to be just paying $600 bucks a month or $800 bucks a month as your lot rent. And, you know, you can use the difference to, you know, maintain your home. And here's the title. There's so much risk with that. And, you know, I've heard mixed reviews, right? Because some people will get the home and then they'll end up moving it out of the community. And again, you're taking, you know, two steps back instead of one step forward. So it's really important. And things just as a park owner, you need to be good at, right? Replacing tenants when you do have tenant turnover. It's really expensive when you have to churn through a third of your park. You know, we bought a 136 lot park in Columbia, Tennessee. Luckily, the market is really good. This is outside of Nashville, but it was fully park owned. Every home was a park owned home and they were paying by the week. It was weekly rentals. So we had to convert all of these. And our model was to go slow. We wanted to see, hey, which residents are our problem residents, right, that we're inheriting, and the bad eggs that, you know, aren't going to follow the rules and pay late. Let's convert those and, you know, non-renew their leases first. And then let's go into the next tier of people to just try to churn through the bad eggs and get, you know, more reliable tenant base in there, you know, that has been screened by us. We confirm their income and so forth. But yeah, it's expensive to go through a third or a half of your current tenant base to refill those vacancies with new paying residents. And oh yeah, if you're going to, you know, get those homes back, you got to make sure that you're providing a good home to the new resident moving in. Otherwise, they'll turn over again. And then you're just dumping more and more money into this thing, right? If you do the cheap rehab for $4,000 and then, you know, 6 months later, they move out and you got to do another $4,000. Well, you know, you're just wasting your time and there's turnover time that you're not collecting rent and so forth. So it'd be better just to spend $8,000 or $10,000 up front and do it right the first time and then get a tenant that stays in there for 10 years plus. So the tenant screening is really important, making sure you're confirming their income and background. You know, our current approval rate across our whole portfolio, over 3,000 lots, is only 25%. So that's 1 in 4 applicants are getting approved. And that's because we're screening, we're talking to previous landlords, we're looking at income, we're having, you know, getting pay stubs, and we're looking at background checks and credit. So it's a very in-depth process, even more so than some of the apartments that, you know, people are applying at. But anyways, the screening by the previous owner is likely not as good as yours. And, you know, retiring mom and pop owners are known for getting lazy with their tenant screening and not doing background checks and kind of just following their gut when they're approving new residents to move into their park. On several of our recent new acquisitions, there's been sex offenders living in the park. And, you know, some of the owners knew about them and put them in there. And then some of the owners didn't even know, they said, right? It was unbeknownst to them that there was sex offenders in there because they just followed their gut, said the person was nice and let them move in. So that's important. Property rehabilitation, you know, better curb appeal is going to attract a better type of tenant. You know, that's kind of common knowledge, but, you know, you got to know what type of amenities and improvements really get the most bang for your buck. You know, we found like new signage and fencing is really key. Landscaping around the front sign is really helpful. off-street parking is something that people really love. So those can go a long ways. Another big piece here is handyman specials. You know, these can be tough and can be very costly if your model is to come in and just, you know, give away the homes, you know, and sell them to, you know, a handyman that's going to come in and do all the work. But in great markets, we've had good success with this, you know, finding people that are actually going to spend the money and put the money into it. You know, markets with high median home price and high population counts, you know, because then the Lonnie dealers that are going to come in and buy and get these homes and fix them up, they can actually make money, right? If they're making money and they're flipping these homes, then it makes sense. But if they're coming in and, you know, they're investing 10 grand and they can only sell the home for 10 grand, well, that's just a loss, right? Because they're going to have so much time tied up in that thing. So those handyman specials can fizzle out, and then you have to step in as the park owner and finish the job yourself and hope that the previous fixer-upper Lonnie dealer didn't, you know, demo the home, you know, beyond repair. And now you have to just get rid of the home, right? You have to tear it down. So that can cause bigger issues than you started with. So rehabbing mobile homes takes a long time and it's expensive and it's hard to find good contractors that just work on mobile home trailers, right? Some contractors, you call them and the handyman, you know, carpenters, they don't want to work on mobile homes. They like, you have to probably call 5 handymen to get one that's willing to work on a mobile home. And then their quotes are going to be higher, you know, typically. And you kind of have to work with them to say, hey, you know, I can't afford to spend $35,000 on this, you know, 12x60 mobile home rehab. Like, this is just not going to work. When you and I know that it's probably only going to cost you 8 grand to actually do this, you know, and that's what you normally would quote. But since it's on a mobile home, they're going to charge you more. It's just like plumbers, right? When you don't have a clean out and you have to go clean, you know, the drain is clogged. You know, if they have to crawl under the home and it's mid-January, they're going to charge you $600 to $700 to go in there and clean that out. If the clean out's right in the middle of the home and they have to climb underneath of there and the sewer line's been backing up. But if you have a clean out, you know, outside the skirting or right there on the inside of the skirting and it makes it easier for them, that may be a $120 fix. So the more work it is for them, you know, the more you're going to have to pay. Marketing homes for sale. This is tough. You know, Facebook Marketplace postings is where we get most of our leads. We also post them on Zillow, but you know, the whole marketing funnel is super important if you're going to be selling these park-owned homes, because you need to make sure people are showing up, you know, for the showings and making sure that there's someone that has salesmanship to push to get an application. You know, we have to have systems built around, you know, the whole marketing of the homes, spot checking the listings to make sure that they're being renewed. And if we're boosting the posts on Facebook Marketplace to make sure that, you know, the contact numbers are correct and so forth. We recently hired a full-time salesperson in-house that all of our leads are going to funnel to that person. And then she has a CRM to follow up with people that are interested in the homes, making sure they show up for their showings, right? Confirm the showings, ask for feedback after the showings, and then text them a link to the application so that we're, you know, putting it out there, trying to get applications, and then also try to vet people up front, right? Like, hey, if you want to, you know, if you want to get this home, you need to make at least $2,800 a month. So I don't want to waste your $40 application fee if this is not going to be a fit for you, so that we're not clogging our management system with applicants that are not going to get approved. So that's another whole process to this is that. So there's just a lot to it. You know, there's financing the sale of a park-owned home to a tenant, right? Like the RTO arrangement and then keeping control, right? If you can, right? But following the state rules is going to be most important there. If you can keep the title and have some sort of rent-to-own agreement where, like, when they pay it off, you can give them the title, or if you keep the title and place a lien on it with a contract saying that they can't move it out for at least 5 years after the title transfer, you know, those type of arrangements are common in mobile home park ownership. And I think at the end of the day, if you're not taking advantage of the tenant, you know, charging 25% interest or something like that, like a used car salesman, you know, and you're really trying to get these, you're really trying to just get the money out of it that you have in it. You know, that's what we try to do a lot of the times is, hey, we invested $8,000 into this home to get it ready. You know, we'll sell the home for, you know, $8,000 or $9,000 to cover our actual hard costs, plus the commission for our team, you know, for selling that home and their time involved. And then, you know, we're just trying to get that back within a couple of years and getting that home to be a tenant-owned home. Because once it's a tenant-owned home, I think at the end of this whole picture, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get sticky tenants. We're trying to get, you know, residents that enjoy the community. They're going to stay there a long time because they're only paying lot rent. And the affordability factor is so big for them that if they left and they wanted to go rent a 3-bedroom apartment, it may be $1,800 a month, right? But they're only paying $400 a month in lot rent at this, you know, community because they now own that home. That is the gem behind mobile home parks and mobile home park investing, is the stickiness of the tenant base once they own their own homes. But getting there and getting through, you know, selling off these park-owned homes has risk associated with it. And these are all the factors I'm kind of explaining to you. But another piece is negotiation, right? Like making sure you have someone that is closing the deal when it comes down to it, and getting, you know, is really what we focus on is less on the purchase price, but more on the monthly payment, because that's what matters most to a lot of the mobile home buyers that are trying to buy homes in our communities. And then also trying to get as big of a down payment as we possibly can, because we find that once they have, you know, a substantial amount into the home, you know, of equity, they're less likely to turn over. They're more sticky. So that matters more than the sale price. And then also like the monthly housing costs, you know, we really make sure that the income that the resident is bringing in, you know, per month is at least 3 times what their monthly housing costs would be. And in our housing costs, we include, you know, the full payment, right? So lot rent, the any park-owned home, additional payment, along with, you know, some minimal, you know, estimates of what, you know, utility costs would be or any other additional fees, so that we're really giving, you know, this person a leg up, right? That they're going to have money to live off of and they can afford to live off of, because we don't want to take, you know, 1 step forward and 3 steps back because they move in and then they can't afford the home, you know, 6 months from now. So that's really important. And then, you know, from an investor standpoint, you know, a mobile home park investor standpoint, when you're financing the mobile home park, the top lenders in the space, which are the agency lenders, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they typically require 20% or less park-owned homes. That's like ideal for what they want. And the proceeds that they're willing to give you, or the loan amount that those agency lenders are willing to give you as a park owner, are higher the lower your number of park-owned homes are. So, you know, a 20-lot mobile home park can have 20 straight rentals in it and still qualify for agency financing, but the agency lenders are not going to count that additional income from those straight rentals. They're only going to count what the lot rent is off of those units. So it's important to understand, you know, what your long-term goals are with these investments. Is it to refinance into, you know, a long-term, you know, permanent solution? Or is it to, you know, fix it up, get it fully tenant-owned home, and then sell it to somebody? But even the person that's going to be buying that park, if you want top dollar, the park needs to be able to qualify for financing at one of the bigger lenders, right? Because the better financing terms they can qualify for based on the park's conditions and specifics, the higher the price you're going to be able to get, right? So if you're selling 136, you know, lot park and they're all park-owned homes, the buyer for that is going to have a harder time getting financing because it's all park-owned homes. But if you're selling and you converted all those park-owned homes to tenant-owned homes, they all own the homes and they've seasoned, right? Which is another big thing that a lot of these lenders want. They want to see the income consistency. They don't want to see big, you know, it's high 1 month and down the next and there's turnover and things like that. They want to see consistency in the rent roll and in the financials. So if you can do that, then your next buyer is going to be able to get top tier financing, which will allow them to pay more on a purchase price basis. So just really important things, high level, to kind of understand about park-owned homes and tenant-owned homes. And I wanted to share this with you. I hope you got value out of it. If you did, let me know. You know, feel free to rate the podcast if you got value out of this. I really appreciate that. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Would you like to see mobile home park value add projects in progress? If so, follow us on Instagram at @passivemhpinvesting for photos and awesome videos from our recent mobile home park acquisitions. Once again, that's @passivemhpinvesting on Instagram. See you there.